For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday morning, June the 30th, 1983. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Dottie Schmidt is the speaker of the morning. This is tape two of three tapes of Dottie Schmidt.
We're going to sing the song that I sang the other night, and some of you, one of the sisters came and said, you know the second stanza to it. And we sort of worked on it. A little different. It goes up and down. But I hear a sound coming from the mountain. I hear a sound. And it says, prepare ye the way. And the second one is, I see a man coming from the mountain. So maybe we can go through it once. Why don't we stand? This morning in Jesus' name, that there is a sound clearer and clearer that we, your people, are hearing. Hallelujah. And we invite you into our midst to move upon us, Lord Jesus Christ. You are the greatest joy of our life. You have captured our hearts. and we continue to hunger and thirst after you, Lord. And so we are your people. We invite you to feel at home in our midst, to express yourself through us. And Holy Spirit of God, you've given to us a promise that when you freely move in our midst, that you will glorify the Son of Man. Hallelujah. And we declare this day that it is in your light that we see light. Hallelujah. So come, Lord. Come, Lord, and just cause every bit of darkness to evaporate, that we might behold you in your beauty and in your glory. And by your anointing and through your Spirit and through your life within us, we shall truly be changed from glory unto glory. And so we praise you. Now come, dwell in the midst of the praises of your people. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Jesus, and thou canst conquer all things, for we are hid in thee, Lord. We are hid in the Lord, in the Most High God, in that holy name, and he will give you the power that you need. Yet you go forth in the mighty name of Jesus, for we go forth upright. We go forth upright in that holy name. Hallelujah, we shall go forth with that mighty banner, and we shall say, hallelujah, the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Hallelujah, he does reign in me, and we shall go forth in victory. Oh, praise your holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
In the midst of my people this day, all words of spirit and truth. And my truth is setting my people free and making them every whit whole. Lift up your eyes this day and behold the Son of Man in your midst. For he walks about with salve in his hand, and he anoints your eyes to see his beauty. For behold, he puts his fingers in your ears, and your ears are open to hear the word of the Lord. And behold, he moves upon your heart this day, and he takes all hardness away, so that your heart may be tender and be plowed up to receive the word of the Lord. So rejoice, rejoice in the Lord this day, for he is good, and his goodness lasts forevermore. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And I would desire that as we sing before we open the word, on the basis of that, his kingdom shall reign forever and ever. Kingdom is established. And I want us to stand and to sing in declaration, you are Lord. Hallelujah. Give you that rightful place in our midst with everything within us. And now we sit at your feet, and we would have a heart even as Mary and an ear that is open to hearing the word of the Lord. And we praise you for this gift, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There are two things that came to my mind yesterday. I realize I have the leeway today. nothing to hinder. And I'm going to... There's something that Brother Charlie said, two things yesterday that I wanted to comment on. He spoke in terms of stepping stones. And as I was thinking of the different things that I'm going to share... And, you know, again, I had in my heart this morning when I awakened that there are just some things I wanted to share with the young people. So I bless the Lord for that, because some of the experiences that I'm going to share are stepping stones from my teenage years. And I just had such a desire to communicate that. And then the other thing that Brother Charlie said, which I think is echoed and re-echoed in many of our hearts, is that there perhaps has never been such a yearning within the hearts of those of us that know him, such as we presently have. There is something he has put within our hearts of a hunger and of a longing and of a desire after him that is just absolutely increasing. And I know he has birthed it there, and he never births anything, but that he does not bring it to fulfillment. And so we yield to that as it comes forth in our midst in intercession and in groanings before him, and walk in the reality of what he has given us, and know that there is much more he's going to open up before us. I would like to start with reading scripture. By the way, our sister always asks me what I'm going to share. And this morning it would really be difficult to tell you, but I'm going to put it in one title, God's Secret. How many of you remember a program? You won't, the young people won't. But there used to be a program on TV in the 50s, I believe, that was I've Got a Secret. And I was always interested in that title, I've Got a Secret. And I sensed one day early in my life, the Lord said, I've got a secret also. And I said, Lord, show me that secret. And I want you to look with me, first of all, to Psalm 24. And early in my life, this psalm, it's Psalm 25, really got a hold of me. And I mulled it over. And as I shared when we first got together concerning the scriptures, I love the word of the Lord. And I continuously discuss it with him. And there are certain passages that I make absolutely my own. And this is one of those passages. In Psalm 25, verse 14 is this statement. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them know his covenant. And when I read that, there was something that leaped in my heart. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, who esteem him, who worship him. And to them will he make known, will he reveal, will he unveil the depths of the meaning of his covenant. Will he unveil the depths of the meaning of his covenant? And when I looked at that, I said, Lord, I'm claiming that for myself. I'm just going to hold on to that. And my life has been one of discovering the incalculable riches that's locked up in his secret. I want you to look with me to Jeremiah chapter 9. When I was a senior in high school, by the way, I want to just share this with the young people. I had mentioned the other day that I was converted at the age of 12. And from 12 to 15, I lived on the experiences of all my friends. My husband and I were involved in an extremely active youth group. And we sort of smiled when Brother Charlie shared about when the work began down in Houston, because there are many of us that were converted as young people in the period of 1948 to 52. That was a sovereign move of the Spirit. We were converted in a liberal church. It was almost sovereign. We still are rather stunned. Every one of us as young people had unbelieving parents. We all of us, there were about 30 of us, and we came out of liberal churches. We came out, we had unbelieving parents, and there was a sovereign move of the Lord. That years after, the Lord quickened to us that he had been pouring out his Spirit, and some of us got the overflow in it and weren't even conscious of what was happening. It was just as the Spirit was moving, even out of Battleford at that time, it spread over different areas, and the Lord just apprehended different ones. And we found ourselves converted. And we didn't even know how that all happened. And our parents didn't even know all that was happening. But you know something, as young people, we had very little adult supervision. And at the same time, I look now and realize that was unusual. We had a hunger burst in our heart. My husband and I, we were part of a youth group, and we helped take over that whole high school. It was absolutely amazing. We held street meetings right in front. We brought people to the Lord right in the middle of in some of the meetings after the school. And all I know is that something was birthed in my heart at that time, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we don't have to be afraid of what other people are going to think of us. But from the age of 12 to 15, I sort of was riding in on the tails of my other friends. When I was alone, I had no spirituality. Prayer was boring, and reading the scriptures, I didn't understand heads or tails of it, but I got all enthusiastic when I was with the youth group. And you know, the Lord allows this to take place just so long. And when I was 15, he just sort of turned me inside out, and he said, you no longer will live on the experience of other people. You're going to know me for yourself. And it was at 15 that I was filled with the Spirit through some very sovereign taking places in my own living room. I was desperately ill, and the Lord appeared to me in a vision and asked me one question: my child, what have you done for me? And I remember shielding my face, and I awakened. It was 5 o'clock in the morning, and the living room was filled with the presence of the Lord. And I said, Lord Jesus Christ, if you give me my life back whole, I will serve you all the days that I live. And at that moment, at 5 o'clock in the morning, the Lord Jesus Christ filled me with his Spirit. And I want you to know that I was absolutely transformed. I was a dud, mentally, until the baptism of the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. I had such an inferiority complex because of how I had grown up with a physical affliction. I had eczema all over me. And I remember at times going to school and the kids would say, "Don't touch me." Oh, you know, I just oozed. I had bandages all over. My face oozed. And you know what that does as you grow up as a child. By the time I was 12, 13, I was a mess. When the Lord filled me with His Spirit at the age of 15, there was one thing He spoke into my heart as a living word. He said, "My daughter, I love you." And I received the revelation of His love. And it absolutely transformed me. I remember laying on the couch and I said, "If you love me, I don't have to try so hard to get everybody else to love me. You love me." And He absolutely transformed my whole personality. I went from someone that was always a follower to someone that was a leader in the midst. In fact, the change that took place was my average up to that point had been 72. After I was filled with the Spirit, I had a 94 average. It was like the Lord took all the cobwebs out of my mind and said, "I'm going to quicken you spirit, soul, mind, and body." And I want you to know that that is our inheritance. He will quicken every part of you. In fact, the change was so drastic in my life that I had two teachers, an English teacher and a German teacher, who both came to me apart from one another, and they said, "We don't know what's happened to you, but something has so changed your life." And my English teacher, there was a gal that was just crushed. She had lost her father, and she just couldn't get it together. And my English teacher said to me, "Dottie, I'm going to give you half the period. Take her over to the other room. Don't tell me what you tell her, but just tell her what has happened in your life." I had the German teacher come to me, and she said, "You are a different person." And all I could say was, "Jesus loves me. He has changed my life." When I got to be a senior, by the way, one of the things that happened after that was that I had such an unusual compassion for some of the kids that were involved in all sorts of delinquency in our school. And out of the compassion the Lord put on my heart, I began to work with some of these kids. And it was just because of the love of the Lord. I went and took them out for ice cream sodas. I went and just shared with them the gospel of the Lord. You know what happened when I graduated? I received the government award because I remember thinking, how could I receive a government? I did it not to receive a government award. I did it because the love of the Lord was in my heart. And as a senior in high school, we were given an opportunity to write an essay. And the whole senior class of 500 were to write this essay. And I was so busy studying that I decided, no, I'm not going to. And I can still remember back to when I was 17 years old. I was on my couch, and we had one day to write this essay. And I'm on my couch, and the Lord spoke to my heart, that essay, and I'm going to share with you what you're going to write on. And I want you to read with me the verses the Lord gave me to write for my senior essay in high school. Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. And one of the things that I would encourage some of you to do, especially as you're starting out in the Lord, is to keep somewhat of a journal. My Bibles are filled with dates and notes. In fact, I had to laugh. I got one of my first Bibles, and I was all underlined about "let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example." And I looked at that, and I looked 1952, and I thought, Lord, that's a ways back. But I can remember, as I had noted down the date on that, what the Lord was communicating to me. This scripture the Lord gave to me in 1956 as a senior in high school, and it lives with increasing meaning to me. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, thus says the Lord, Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. The essay I had to write on was Horizons for the 1956 graduate. And I put down as the foundation of my thesis of my senior paper that the horizon for the 1956 graduate was not wisdom, was not might, was not riches, but it was the knowledge of the Lord which is the beginning of wisdom. And the Lord gave me an insight. Look at verse 24. What does the Lord delight in? Have you ever made a study of the things the Lord delights in? I love to make a study of what he delights in. And in verse 24, he says, but let him who boasts of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for I delight in these things. And I want you to know that the greatest adventure of our life is getting to know our God, whom to know is life eternal. And since the scripture says that in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, that search can never come to an end. It shall last throughout eternity. We shall be in awe of this one in whom are hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And the more we learn of him, the more we are transformed. By the way, I want you to know that I won first prize on this essay. I remember my parents were almost beside themselves as to what was all taking place, because they knew that I had been so desperately ill. I had to leave school for 6 months as a 14-year-old because I had been so ill. And the Lord turned my life upside down, and he has never failed me. I think that's why I have such a desire for the young people. Don't waste it. Don't blow it. In fact, my greatest, something Brother Charlie said yesterday morning made me think about it too. My greatest desire, I have a chapter in my book called Ruined for the Lord. And my greatest desire for the young people is that the Lord would just ruin you. And you know how he does that? You begin to taste of the Lord and of his reality, and you are ruined for anything else in this life. And I tell you, may the Lord so give you an insight and a revelation to who he is. In fact, there are times in which things have happened in my life, and I thought, and it's just like the Lord says, and what are you going to do? And I said, I'm sunk, aren't I? I'm licked. I've loved you, and I've known you loved you, but where else am I going to go? It's like in John 6, you know, after the Lord lays this heavy teaching on them, which we're going to look at a little bit later. You know, he speaks of such total involvement in himself. You've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And some of the disciples say, hey, wait a minute, you're nice to have around. I mean, you feed us when we need you. But you're talking about a total involvement. I mean, that's not what I'm after. You know, I want bread, and I want to get a little healing when I need it. And, you know, when I need you, it's nice. But total daily involvement? And it says that many of them left. And he looked at his own, and he said, are you going to go too? And blessed Peter looks up, and he says, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? For you have the words of eternal life. And I'll tell you, early in life, may the Lord apprehend you. Just ruin you. And you will find that life is truly a joy in getting to know him. There's some pain involved, but bless the Lord. The whole purpose of life is that we might know him. Now I want you to look with me to Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24, I want to say a word concerning the scriptures. I had mentioned the other day that one of the things that happened when he filled me with his spirit was he gave me an unquenchable hunger for the scriptures. I somehow sensed there was a song we used to sing in the Dutch Reformed Church, Beyond the Written Page, I Seek Thy Face, O Lord. And I somehow early sensed that he was giving a unique revelation of himself through the Word. And that as we study and pore over his Word, that our hearts are drawn in revelation concerning who he is. Now, I want you to think through with me. By the way, we were talking the other day with my daughter and Charles as we were sitting up in the trailer house about how little of the capacity of the mind we used. And, you know, I used to teach school, and I taught fifth grade and junior high, and I am amazed as to how the Holy Ghost can bring a quickening to our minds and to every part of us. We are not to be dunce people. He wants us to be alert, and he wants us to be quick and perceptive in his ways and in the things of his word. And some of you came up the other day after I shared and asked, you know, how do I get to the place where I get to read this on my own? You know, I remember one time I was sitting in a big convention, and as I was sitting at the convention, the Lord gave me a vision, and I saw a strong hand come and knock all the baby food jars away. And this usually comes as I'm worshiping before the Lord, and I said, Lord, what is that? And he said, tell my people I will no longer spoon feed them. No longer spoon feed. Just I desire that they come and they eat, but that they not continuously get spoon fed. A while later, I was sitting in another convention, and I see some interesting things at times. As we're praising the Lord, I saw some canned beans, some canned corn, and some TV dinners. And I said, Lord, what is this? And he said, no instant feeding either. They must cook their own food from scratch. Do you know that that was true? In Deuteronomy, it speaks of that. You are to cook your own food from scratch. And I remember the Lord said, you give them the recipe, and you allow them to smell the aroma of what you have baked. But then they are to cook it themselves. They are to dig it out. They are to make it their own. When the Holy Ghost speaks to you and it is a rhema, no one will ever take that away from you. What someone else has told you may be taken away, but what you know, what is birthed by the Spirit of God within you, that shall be your own. Now, as I was looking at Luke chapter 24, I love to title certain verses. And I'm going to ask you, if you had to title the first 8 verses, I wonder what you would put down for this. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened that while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling apparel. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. If you were in a Bible study with me, I would ask you to give these first 8 verses a title. I wonder what you would title them. I'll tell you what was crooked. Zeal without knowledge. Now look at this. What had the women spent a lot of time doing? What had they been doing? They had been preparing spices for his body. Had the Lord asked them? No. They had a lot of zeal, but what had they forgotten? The word of the Lord. And I want you to know that many times, as I read this, the Lord said, many times my people are like this. They get themselves all worn out doing things I have never asked them to do. They are filled with zeal, but that zeal is lacking the knowledge. And how do you know that that is true? Because look, and remember we spoke about angels the other day, and I told you that the angels are always asking questions. Here's another case. In Zechariah, the angel, as Zechariah kept asking the angel what this meant, the angel sort of scratched his head and said, you mean you don't know? You don't know what this means? Why are you so ignorant of these things? And here again, look what the angel says. I'm sure this is an honest question. The angel says, why do you seek the living one among the dead? And the angel was sort of scratching their head because they were there when Jesus told them that he was going to die and that he was going to be raised again the third day. And I know that the angels are continuously perplexed concerning why we're so slow to believe all that the prophets have said. And the two key words are found in verse 6 and verse 8. He is not here, but he has risen. And what's the next word? Remember how he spoke to you. Remember how he spoke to you. And notice verse 8. Here comes the knowledge. And they what? Remembered his words. What is one of the main functions of the Holy Ghost that you and I are to absolutely depend upon? That he will bring to remembrance everything that the Son of Man has spoken. And saints, when you get into this word, you come and you say, Lord, I'm counting on you. You know me in the natural. I'm counting on you to bring to my remembrance everything that I am reading and pondering and meditating about, so that we are not a people who have zeal without the knowledge of the Lord. For the Lord had already told them, and I believe these women had worked so hard, there was only one who anointed the body. And you know who that was. That was the one who had the listening ear, Mary. She sat at his feet and she heard what he was saying concerning his death and concerning his resurrection. And she was given the privilege to anoint his body because she had a listening ear. I said the other day that worship is so vitally connected with having a listening ear. For it's as we hear the Son of Man speak to us, as we hear the Spirit of God illumining things to us, that worship begins to fill our hearts before him. Now I want to share with you a stepping stone from chapter 24. How many of you have ever felt that the Lord has given you a word, and somehow the word hasn't actually all come to pass? Have you ever felt like, oh, God, like somehow I was wrong? I want you to see something. I felt I had received a word from the Lord that I was obviously wrong in, or I thought I was wrong in. And I came before the Lord, and I said, didn't you tell me this? I thought you told me this. What went wrong? And in Luke 24, the Lord quickened something to me. You remember that the disciples were on the road to Emmaus? And do you remember what their disposition was? In the, as they were going along, let's pick it up in verse 13 of Luke 24. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were conversing with each other about all these things which had taken place. And it came about that while they were conversing and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking? And they stood still, looking sad. Why were they looking sad? Why? Let me just suggest to you, they were believing the wrong facts. Many times, our countenance drops when we believe the wrong facts. They were looking sad. And in verse 18, and try to visualize this scene. And one of them named Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, the things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to the sentence of death and crucified him. And here's the key in verse 21. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Let me ask you this question. I wonder how many of you really think as you read these scriptures. That's one of my burdens. Lord, give us anointed minds to think. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Were they wrong in their hope? No. Is he the Redeemer? Of course he's the Redeemer. Where did they come down? They had heard he is the Redeemer of Israel. Of course he was. But where had they gone off? They had interpreted how he was going to be the Redeemer of Israel. And let me just throw this off, that there are times in which we get a very valid rhema from God, and in our own understanding, we begin to interpret just how he's going to fulfill that word. Has that ever happened to some of you? You've gotten the word, and in my own experience, the Lord said, my daughter, you had the word from me, but you began to interpret how I was going to work out that word. And when I didn't do it according to your interpretation, you were very sad. And I began to realize that he was indeed the ruler and the redeemer of Israel, but they had not seen something. And let's look down where the Lord begins to speak to them. In verse 24, they said, and some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophet has spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning what? Himself in all the scriptures. The whole of the scriptures are a testimony to Jesus Christ. Everything speaks concerning him. And you know where they stumbled? They stumbled in verse 26, where most of us stumble. They could not receive that the Christ had to suffer. And let me just suggest to you, in some of the things that the Lord is saying, I also believe that as the teaching of even the pre-tribulation rapture came in the 1800s, that it was a fear, because we will do anything to get out of suffering. And that only comes because we have a limited knowledge of who he is. When we begin to realize we are hidden in him, even as in the book of Daniel, in the midst of some of those heavy end-time prophecies, you have these beautiful little Bible stories that we teach the children. But they're for us in this hour. For these men were thrown into the fiery furnace. They were cast into the lion's den. They're not just Bible stories. They come right in the midst of some of the heaviest end-time prophetic declarations. And God is showing how he undertakes for his people who are hidden in Jesus Christ. And in that hour, we will stand through. And in this hour, do not be afraid to suffer. I believe they stumbled on the word, because they couldn't bear to think that the Christ would have to suffer. And the Lord said, so foolish to believe, so slow of heart to believe everything that the prophets have said. And then if you would underline verse 45, let's start with verse 44. Now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about who? Me. Underline that. Which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And in verse 45, you really move on this. Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture. I claim this from the Spirit of the Lord. When I read this, I said, Lord, you opened their minds, and I am believing you to open my mind to understand your scripture and to give me a hunger for it. And there are many of us here who have studied this for years and years, and it is the only book that continuously is new and fresh in its illumination. It is something that you eat and you eat and you eat from. Now, I want to switch off a little bit and take off a little on the area of... We were discussing the tabernacle, and Brother Don mentioned before he shared yesterday one of my favorite verses, and I want you to look with me to 2 Chronicles 5:14. And I'm going to tell you what happened to me on my 40th birthday. It's based on 2 Chronicles 5:14. My husband has shared the tabernacle almost as long as I've known him. I've known him for 32 years. We've been married just about 20 years, so I've known him a long time. And the tabernacle has always been one of his favorite subjects. And early, as we studied it, early in my life, there was a section of scripture that just captivated my heart. And look with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 5, and let's just read this. And when the priest came forth from the holy place, in verse 11, 2 Chronicles 5, starting with verse 11, and when the priest came forth from the holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without regard to divisions, and all the Levitical singers, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and their sons and kinsmen, clothed in fine linen, with cymbals, harps, and lyres, standing east of the altar, and with them 120 priests blowing trumpets in unison, when the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice to praise and to glorify the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice, accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and when they praised the Lord, saying, He indeed is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting, then the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Are there scriptures? I trust there are certain scriptures that make your tongue hang out. This scripture has made my tongue hang out from the first that I have read it. You know what my greatest desire is, Brother Glenn? To be in a convention where not one of us could ever get up. Some of us have touched that. I remember one convention we were in North Carolina, that those that were speaking, we were thrown in such a muddle, we didn't know what to do, and we blew it anyhow. We shouldn't have done anything. There was such an outpouring of the Spirit that every time the brother got up to speak, he had to sit down. And different ones would say, what do we do? There was just such a moving of the Spirit. And finally, after his getting up and sitting down and getting up and sitting, he finally got up and started to share, and it was gone. And we began to realize we should have just cut a hole to everything and just let the Lord continue to flow. I remember one time being in a meeting, and many of you, I'm sure, can remember things in your own life. We were in a meeting in North Dakota. It was a cold winter's night, and there was such a presence of the Lord that it lasted. None of us could even speak. There was such a holy, pregnant silence in our midst. And the women had prepared all of this beautiful food. You know, all of us came from miles. And finally, they quietly got up, and they cut the stuff, and they very quietly put it in everybody's head. And we sort of, in silence, took a bite, and everyone took it out of their mouth and put the plate on the side, and we just sat there. There was nothing but a sense of the awe in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord quickened to me at that time that it was the manifestation of His glory.
For the continuation of this teaching, please play tape 3. Thank you.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.